Swear to me.
Beef wine shenanigans, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so good to be back. It's another great Sunday night. Everybody's feeling good. Everybody's looking good. I'm Stephen Van Patten, as always, joined by the incredible Mark Abbott and the irrepressible Kirk Johnson. And nice, Kirk. He's got moves. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, so much to say, so much to complain about. We're going to start right out of the gate with a little recanting of a little ranting that went on Facebook, courtesy of Mr. Abbott, who was actually the only one who decided to watch the remake, whatever the fuck, of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This left the usually stoic Mr. Abbott with quite a lot to say. So basically,
three paragraphs.
No, actually, it was more than three. I want to say it was more than three. I know I went 10, but it was a nice little read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought I had accidentally hit the link to Huffington Post for a second. But Mr. Abbott, I digress. We were gonna just jump in and start talking about the problems that you had with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Please begin.
Floor is yours.
Yes.
See, here's the thing. Yeah. So Netflix decided they were going to I guess produce or partner up with the company that did what could only be, I guess originally it was supposed to be a direct sequel to the original 1973 version of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
They borrowed some ideas from Halloween in that they decided to bring back the heroine, if you want to call her a heroine.
The final girl,
the survivor of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre to do battle with Leatherface. So I guess, you know, they took a page out of the book of Halloween and figured, well, you know, if we bring back the original character, this should generate enough energy and interest for those of us who grew up on those films to want to come back. Because let's be honest, all of our films have been sequelized to death between Friday the 13th, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street. It got to a point where, I don't hate sequels. If you've got a strong story and it's a plausible story and it's a decent continuation, so be it. I know a cash grab when I see it, you know. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those situations where I had to take a line from Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park, which is, you were so preoccupied with whether or not you could, you didn't stop to think that whether or not you should, and you shouldn't. There were people who will say, well, you know, it's an updated horror story, you know, it's not the same thing, you're kind of harping on the past. But if you're trying to interest me into coming back into a series by teasing me with the idea that you're bringing back someone who is prevalent from the original, and then what you basically do is the person isn't around for half the film, and you just present to me what could only be called a complete and utter gore fest for no reason. What it tells me is that, one, you don't know the source material. I'm glad you like watching movies, but movies are made up of many different components, mainly a screenplay. And if you're going to do a sequel or something, take time and read the script, the original script from the film, because again, we all know a lot of stuff doesn't end up on the screen. It can end up on the cutting room floor. It can answer a lot of questions you may have had about the original series before you do this. Second thing, give me a second here. I understand there's a level of I have to dispel my belief in a film at some point. Mm-hmm. But there's no God-given way you're going to tell me that Leatherface, this is supposed to be the Leatherface from 1973. Not only does he not look like he's 80, but he's moving like a teenager. The man is built like a truck, all right? I don't want to get into the whole thing for those people who are going to decide to watch this thing, but mm-hmm. where they found him, not a place that had a lot of fruits and vegetables growing, nor were there any beef or pork, and no humans, because he was cannibal. Yes, the main thing we seem to have forgotten what he did. I don't want to say it was insulting, because I don't think it was coming from a place of malice. I don't think that the guys who did this movie were trying to insult anyone. But the thing is that a lot of these guys have to get off this horse of, I don't want to look at the source material. I want to come up with my own new and vision. And if mm-hmm. you're going to, if I would have preferred, if you said, okay, this is not a sequel, but this was inspired, like the character in this movie was inspired by, then I go, okay, I could kind of buy that. The execution's still a little daft in the head, but I could buy that. But if you're going to bring back the survivor who looks like she's 70 and he looks 20 years longer than she is, and he's the same person that she fought. Also, if you're going to bring back somebody who's supposed to have been trained to, she spent her entire life as a Texas Ranger. She was probably one of the worst trained Texas Rangers I have ever seen in my life. I mean,
if she's 70, she clearly was trained by Chuck Norris.
Yes, Walker, because it had to be either that or the Lone Ranger, because at this point, there's no reason for the way the demise of any of these characters happened. My problem is that as a horror writer, and as someone who loves horror, we have to stop. Gore is not horror.
Right.
That's not what a horror movie is.
That's right.
Not what a horror story is. Over the top, unexplained violence.
Mm-hmm.
That's not horror. That is a way for you to put people in the seats, and that's shock value. That's all it is. It's not giving any weight or any credence to why the character does what he does. And in my point about what I was saying was that the reason why these characters, Leatherface, Chucky, Freddy, all of these guys scared us when we were kids, it was their presence that frightened us. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew what they were going to do, but nothing scared you more than just, you know, the idea, like the original Texas Chainsaw, guy walks into that house, steps up on that walkway, and Leatherface turns the corner and brains him with that mallet. And mm-hmm. it takes you a minute to realize what has just happened. And now you're like, oh crap, everybody's in trouble now. Because this, you know, pulls the chainsaw out the wall, starts it up, and now the killing begins. But he wasn't killing for the sake of killing. He was killing for food. You know, he was part of a crazed family. And all of that dynamic is left out. And we're left with somebody's interpretation of what they think horror truly is in the form of these classic characters. I mean, I will equate this to the sparkling vampire, where you just kind of sit there and go, what?
Teen sparkling wolf. Nigga, he's sparkling.
Teen Wolf. Yep. Because the last time, I don't remember Lon Chaney Jr. handling a basketball when he turned into a werewolf.
Well, Teen Wolf was supposed to be funny.
It was supposed to be funny.
That's the optimal word there.
You know what's funny? Supposed to be. There are a lot of horror heads back in the day that got upset with that movie because
he didn't turn into.
His father looked like Santa Claus when he changed into.
Oh, he damn sure did. He looked like the Barrington Bears. That's what he looked like.
He looked like a character from Star Trek Next Generation.
We all have our triggers, I guess. But let me ask you this, Mark, since it sounds like there's a lot that they did wrong here.
Yeah.
The whole not aging Leatherface, or maybe like I would have probably, I'd like listening to you, I feel like it would make more sense to just say, maybe a new Leatherface, you know, like he somehow managed to stop eating people long enough to have a kid, and the kid, you know, better, stronger, went down to Home Depot, you know, with the whole, you know, he's like, you know, like with a Shinai practice, you know, like that might have been interesting. And then
Chain Fu. Yeah,
exactly. And then when a 70-year-old, you know, tries to jump bad, it's like, oh no, honey, sorry, this ain't your daddy's chainsaw massacre dude. It's like, but let me ask you this. Same movie, but without a guy pretending he's Leatherface. Mm-hmm. Let's just say it's a nondescript, non-brand chainsaw killer. Or instead of a chainsaw, let's mess it up. Let's get him in one of those like bush trimmer things.
Shears?
No,
garden shears. Garden shears.
I know the hedge. The electric hedge.
Yes.
Hedge trimmer. Right. Okay. Electric hedge trimmer. Okay.
Yes.
Jesus. Wow.
Something like that. You know. You know. Does the movie work then?
No.
Okay. That was quick.
I was wondering because
right.
The thing is that the premise of the film, and it literally was, he just happened to be in this place. It wasn't like people came and there wasn't a story about this particular place. And they were like, don't go in there because, you know, I mean, they start the movie off by talking about the fact that he has never been found. You know, they went and dragged John Larroquette to do the narration because, you know, it's not Texas Chainsaw without his voice. But I mean, the idea.
John Larroquette.
Yeah. Oh. John Larroquette is in 1973, the slow scroll. That's him.
Wow.
He's the narrator.
Right. Right. But.
Wow, I didn't know
that. Passed away?
No, no, he's still here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they're doing a new Night Court. They're supposed to be reviving Night Court, and he's supposed to be on it. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be on it.
Well, shit.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
So the entire premise of the story, and I think that's the other problem with this, it's that character development, story development. I mean, I don't understand. Like, to me, I think the thing that insults me as a horror fan is that for whatever reason, when they make these movies, they act like, well, we don't need to know any of that. The most important thing about the film is people getting offed. You're like, who cares about the character development? Who cares about... I'm like, but that's what basically makes us sympathize with the people who are now at the poor hands of whatever it is that's coming for them.
Oh, you know, this is true. This is very true.
I mean, even to some degree, trying to get into the psyche of the killer. I mean, let's be honest. If you watched Candyman and they told you no history, just this brother running around with a hook on his hand, killing people. Mm. And it's like, oh yeah, he's based on a fairy tale. That doesn't hold the same kind of weight as when you find out what really happened to him. And you're like, damn, that is, hey, I can't even feel sorry for these people he's after because of X, Y, and Z, right. You know?
I told that boy not to go down there messing with them white women.
I mean, even Nightmare on Elm Street, when I guess for whatever reason, Wes left this out, but when I grew up and watched the original, I didn't know he was a child molester. Mm-hmm. They just said he was a filthy child murderer. Years later, when you find out, oh, no, that makes it even worse.
Right.
So yeah. Now it's sort of like when the parents are like, we're mad because the judge got famous and they signed the search warrant and he walked. And you going, okay, yeah, I could see the parents being mad and burning him. That makes sense. Wait, he was raping the children? Oh, no. Then I have no sympathy for this guy.
Right.
You know, but now you have all a reason. But you do now have a reason to fear him. Mm. To just simply say, whoop, Leatherface back. Now we're just going to start killing a massive group of people. Mm-hmm. And with no context as to, you know, the reason behind him doing this. I mean, the reason they gave to me, I need a little more history on why he flipped like that. Mm-hmm. Because as far as I knew, you know, he wasn't really attached to people like that. You know, I mean, you know, he had his crazy brother and his nutso father. But but all the things that trigger him, that set him in motion, for those of us who know the original story, it doesn't make sense and it's not plausible. And even if you took him out of that equation and you dropped somebody else in there, you literally would have had to give us a little bit more backstory on this guy and his situation for us to go, oh crap, you know,
right.
Now I'm worried for everybody that showed up in the town. Mm. And there's no, and I mean, again, there's no likable characters. There's nobody there for us to say, you know, oh God, I hope they make it out alive.
Yeah,
you
know, and that's a big problem. That's a big problem.
Yeah,
if nobody you don't do for that.
Yeah,
it's like because then it's just like why do I care? And I don't know why, particularly in our genre, that seems to be a thing. That seems to be like, we're not gonna get into those details because that's not important. What the audience wants to see is, you know, slice and dice, and it's like, no, that's not really what your audience wants to see. And that's why you get terrible, you know, then you turn around and go, oh, well, the critics hated it. Well, every once in a while, Roger Ebert actually did like a horror film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every once in a blue moon, he and Siskel.
Siskel.
Would catch one and be like, huh, that wasn't too bad. And you had a good story to it. And because it's all about bringing the audience into this. I mean, you know, now you just kind of feel like I just wasted 2 hours, hour 45 minutes of my life watching this. And, you know, and of course we leave it wide open for a sequel. For what reason, what possible reason would you want to make a sequel from this terrible sequel? I don't know. I mean, I mean, a lot of things are just funny. I mean, it's just like nobody aged. Him, he didn't. I mean, the survivor aged. He didn't.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, it's business as usual. We're not, you know, when I, you know. So, I mean, I guess, I mean, part of my rant was really not just to this film, but to the fact that the genre itself needs a lot more respect when these movies come out than just, and if you're going to take our classic characters, because these are our Frankensteins and our Draculas and everything, these modern slashers are the people that we grew up with. But I want to be frightened. I still want to be able to watch, even though I know these guys, I still want to have that moment where it's like, oh crap, you know, I wasn't expecting that to happen.
Yeah, of course.
We're not that desensitized to these characters that you can't still, you know, you can't still send a chill down this down a person's spine. You know, nothing will ever be scarier than Michael Myers, you know, coming out of the dark, just kind of materializing, just all that whole white face against a black background. You could do that now. And even I would even go so far as the movie The Strangers. There's this really, really intense scene. It had no music in it when the woman is in the kitchen. And the camera just kind of like zooms out and you see the person standing in the background with the mask on, just kind of just standing there watching her. Mm. And it's just this long sequence, just this long period of time where it's like she feels nobody's in this room. And then they just kind of etch, you know, just kind of quietly walk back out into the darkness. And she was completely, but that's scary. Even when you're watching it and seeing and you're taking that in,
right.
you could still do that with, you know, there could be these moments where somebody, two people are talking and Leatherface is just standing in a doorway or looking through a window and he's just standing there watching them and then completely oblivious to him being there. You could still frighten us that way, but we decided this to, spend most of the money on the buckets of blood that and to see, you know, how many entrails we could show. And later on I will tell you guys about a very terrible, there's a whole massacre on a bus that takes place and there's a sister that gets it in literally I'm sitting there going, okay, why in the hell would you even make the decision you just made? Like, it made no damn sense whatsoever. Mm. And I'm like, that's insulting to me because even as a side character, that was just nobody would make that poor of a decision. Not in a situation. I don't care what I don't care what you tell me. Nobody would make a poor enough decision to get themselves picked off like that. So.
Well, what did she do? Pull a Rosa Parks? Said, "I'm not getting up."
No, she.
Anyway,
wow. I mean,
Happy Black History Month.
Exactly.
Stephen Van Patten, ladies.
Yes. Yeah, for real. Okay. Well, thank you, Mark, for. That coverage of what I guess sounds like a little bit of a disappointment. So I did not watch this movie because I was too busy watching Slapface, directed by our old friend Jeremiah Kip, and starring none other than Mark Abbott.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, he's not really starring in it, but he is in the damn thing, and he does a very good job doing what he's supposed to be doing. Cute kid that's supposed to be yours. I couldn't really see the wife. Like,
Yeah, it kind of, I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get a chance to really see, because she did an amazing job. She's absolutely fantastic.
I
mean,
I heard her in her
yeah.
emoting, you know,
yeah.
Was totally on point. Mm-hmm. Where was that? Was that like the Catskills? Is that?
Yeah, I think he was not the Catskills actually, but it was north of the city where they shot most of it. I mean, that particular sequence I was in was on a soundstage. They built hospital room and everything on a soundstage.
Wow, because that looked like a hospital to me. That, mm-hmm. that was nice job.
Yeah. Yeah,
nice job, they did, everybody.
The crew did a great job with that. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, well, what did you think of it as overall?
I enjoyed it. I saw where this was going maybe earlier than I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who may check it out just for the sake of catching Mark's bit in it. But I mean, I kind of figured it out, you know, mm-hmm. the whole, you know, what the mechanism was as far as how people were getting killed and what the monster really was and all that. The monster was very impressive, though.
Yeah.
I will say that just in terms of makeup, presence, size. Did you meet this person? Because that motherfucker looked big.
No, I actually didn't meet the monster.
And I realized he was he was standing next to a 15-year-old. At least I guess he's 15. You know, for the sake of most of the scenes, but it's like, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely succeeds in the area of jump scares and you know, the mechanics of a horror movie. Definitely, mm-hmm. Definitely succeeded in that department. So yeah, bravo. Mr. Kip and everybody else involved. Yeah, it was, you know, I had a good time.
Oh, good.
Waiting for your scene there, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I am kind of a jerk because I was kind of like scanning the scrub line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, well, fuck, where is he? Like, I didn't full on fast forward. I was like, because it was late. So I was like, all right, am I really going to be up the whole 2 hours here? Like, what are we doing? oh, shit. I guess I got to wait it out. You know. But yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
A lot of other stuff on Shudder, I have to say, is leaving me a little cold lately. I don't know. Mm. Maybe I'm not watching the right shit. I don't know.
They've definitely been digging in the crates for certain mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I like Shudder. I really wish they would hold on to whatever contracts they signed for these films, because mm-hmm. there are nights where I want to go back and watch something and it's gone. And I'm like, okay. What the? Like, I wanted to watch Salem's Lot the other night.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
well.
And gone. Dracula, gone.
What?
Yeah, it's...
You call yourself a horror streaming service and y'all ain't got no Dracula? That's like not having vinegar in the kitchen. Well, not necessarily that you go use it every day, but you're supposed to have vinegar in the kitchen.
Of all the things you have written about and the brilliance of your words and prose that I have read and experienced, and you went with vinegar in the kitchen.
Yes.
No, it's right. You're vinegar. Not E-tape. E-tape in the cupboard.
I'm trying to get the police in here.
E-tape in the cupboard. E-tape in the cupboard. Pregnancy test in the bathroom. You know.
Baking soda in the fridge.
All right. You have your necessary shit in necessary rooms. I have mine.
An iguana in the yard.
Wait, but here's the thing. So no, they have Dracula movies on there.
Mm-hmm.
Just not like, I mean, they
ones. That's not the ones.
Not the ones. Right. Not the one I want. Like Andy Warhol's Blood for Dracula.
right.
was on there. Nosferatu wow. with Klaus yeah. Kinski. That's mm-hmm. on there. And the original okay. Nosferatu Symphony of the
Night. Yeah, right.
Well, John right. Malkovich's Shadow of the Vampire with William Dafoe.
Do you know that that's one of the hardest films? Like, I do not see that in many places. And I think that's yeah. a travesty. Because that was a really, really good film.
Mm-hmm. It was. Shadow of the Vampire.
They got, there was something else on there. The Flesh for Frankenstein.
Mm. Andy Warhol also, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, no Blackula?
No, Blackula's gone. You know what? That's the thing. They have like a noir section for African American horror.
And again, yeah. but how's Blackula gone and it's Black History Month?
But Blackula's gone. Scream Blackula Scream is gone. But wow. but what you call it is
the Tales from the Hood.
Not the thing with two heads.
They don't have the thing with two heads?
I don't think any of us could sit through that. I mean, I would really like for them to resurrect some of those old, yeah. like not the more obscure ones, like Abby,
mm-hmm.
you know.
All right. The poster behind you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde.
Mm-hmm. Although I don't think I really want to see Blackenstein. But
I mean, that'd be a double feature with that and the possession of JD's revenge.
JD's revenge. Oh, but that's
or the original Ganja and Hess.
That's Ganja on there. That actually is on there.
Okay.
Oh,
they,
okay.
Yeah, that's on there. They spared us the blood of Jesus. yeah.
Good.
But you know what the thing is? What's crazy about that is that Ganja and Hess,
mm-hmm.
you really, I see what the brother was trying to do.
Yeah.
And he tripped over himself because I think what it was is the studio thought they were going to get a vampire movie. Mm-hmm. And what they got was a whole lot of social commentary. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what the devil is this?
Right.
And then Spike Lee decided, of all the things I'm going to remake Ganja and Hess. And I'm like, you had a whole lot of things you could have picked. You picked. And my thing was like, you didn't like kind of take it and go, you know what? I see where some of the flaws was. Let me and try fix it. And fix it up or spruce up or kind of give it my own flavor. Mm-hmm. You seriously just tried to be like, you know what? I'm going to paint it because I didn't like either one of those movies when I first, mm-hmm. when I,
yeah.
Cause originally when I saw The Blood of Jesus, I actually, cause Steven sent me a text one night and he said, did you see The Blood of Jesus? And the first thing I'm thinking, I'm like, this is some gospel movie that I do not want to sit through. No, I didn't.
Which then, is funny. Cause like, considering I'm the one bringing it up.
Yeah.
So then I sat down and I watched it. And what was funny was I had just seen Ganja and Hess because I was trying to find out what other movies Dwayne Jones did besides Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
And this was back when I was still getting DVDs from Netflix. And it wasn't streaming yet. Right. So I got the DVD and I sat down and I watched it. And I literally sat there. I was like, what the hell is this supposed to be? And I walked away. I came back. I watched it again. I was like, yeah, no, still don't like this. got no idea what the hell. Like, I'm like, this guy's supposed to be a vampire? Is that what he's supposed to be? And then I watched The Blood of Jesus, and I'm halfway through the film when I suddenly start to go, oh, my God, this is Ganja and Hess. And I'm like, wow, this movie, neither one of these are good enough for me to even remember that I'm watching. And, you know, it was what it was. I mean, it's an important film. I wouldn't say that it doesn't have a place in cinema because it does.
Right. But
it's still, it's one of those things. It's not Blackula. It's not in your face. It's not, you know, you don't know what you're getting until, you know, until you've been served. And then it's like, wait a minute, I didn't ask for this. It's like, well,
you've been served.
Exactly.
You know,
with Omicron, with Omicron, exactly. Omarion.
And you know what is funny, because you don't hear enough talk, at least I don't think you hear enough talk about this one movie that was actually, I thought it was brilliant. And it was Calvin Lockhart and Peter Cushing.
Beast Must Die.
Beast Must Die, yes.
I know that movie.
Beast yep. Must Die.
I love that film.
First of all, come on, Calvin Lockhart, the original Biggie.
Man.
Come on.
He was, man, he was styling like shit. With that goatee?
Yep.
Man.
What of you? It's a werewolf. It's
like... Nice, Mark. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that was
that was a good one.
That was a good one. And that actually, like, you never really hear anybody talk about it too much.
No.
But you know,
yeah. And that'd be interesting.
I want to say it wasn't Peter Cushing's last movie, but it was definitely
one of his last. Yeah, because I think he did one last Dracula before he passed away, right? Peter Cushing. Mm-hmm.
No, well,
and, well, Peter, Star Wars.
He oh, right, right. Star Wars.
He died in the what? I want to say Cushing died somewhere in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
But yeah, that's true. You don't really. They don't really talk about the Beast Must Die. As much. I really hope that's because that was on Shudder too at some point.
Yeah.
Because I watched it twice. Because I remember seeing
DVD, so I'm like,
I remember seeing it as a kid and just trying to figure out which person in that room was the werewolf, because that was the whole big thing.
Yeah.
The
werewolf.
So, everybody's like, Peter Cushing. It's like, no, not me.
Yeah, and it was all, and the funny thing is Peter Cushing, like, he was there really just so people make sure people went to see the fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It give a validity. It was a validation.
Right.
Casting.
It didn't really do much. You know, he wasn't the werewolf, you know.
No.
And I'm sure they pitched that. Peter, would you mind maybe... crawling around on the floor a little bit? Absolutely not.
Not. Right.
Unless you're going to pay me a lot more money and bring Christopher here, there will be no rolling around on the floor for me.
I guarantee you Christopher Lee is the one who probably negotiated the whole shit.
Oh, no.
I have a good friend. Mr. Cushing. He's looking to do another horror film.
Wait.
I am not.
You know what would have been the end all be all of casting and protagonist antagonist scenes? Like, who's the brother who played Blackula? Marshall?
William Marshall,
Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing, and Roscoe Lee Brown. All them deep voices in that one in a movie together, man. These niggas be cleaning up the floors after every show.
Oh shit!
You see that though? Right? All them deep voices, man.
Oh shit!
And William Marshall. And William Marshall is a fantastic actor. I mean, he is
Shakespearean trained. Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. If somebody said, yeah, we want to cast Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing, the hammer elites, mm-hmm. and you want to add a little new blood, let's bring in William Marshall and Roscoe Lee Brown, and let's see if they can hold their own. And you know they can. And that, come on, man.
And you
that
know
shit
what?
Would have been crazy.
And they would have been battling wizards.
Fucking shape changes and shit. Motherfuckers shape changing the whole. It would have been That shit would have been a spectacular. I'm sorry. That shit would have been spectacular.
And then I'll tell you what, just for added flavor,
throw Lola in Falana. Lola Falana.
Sure, why not? But I was going to say, since we're in a deep voice kick, just throw in James Earl Jones as a voodoo priest.
Man. Nah, have him do the slow crawl narration. I just thought it all with original music by Barry White.
Not to mention, right, exactly, like all the violins and all that.
Original music, Barry.
No. You gotta put James in the movie. You know who does the slow crawl speech? My man who played Lurch on the Addams Family.
Richard Walt Mall. No, not Richard Mall.
Richard Kyle, I want to say. Keel.
No, Richard Kiel is
Jaws.
Oh, no, that's Jaws from that's okay. Right. That's Jaws.
No, because I found out, I did not know this. That guy who played Lurch was the narrator for the opening of The Incredible Hulk. Dr. David Banner.
Oh, that's right.
And I was like,
God.
That's right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't think. Well, you know what?
You call that shit the rumbling. All the voices call that shit the rumbling.
You know what scares me about Kirk's suggestion? Because somebody somewhere along the line thought that same thing when they casted Dolph Lundgren and Van Damme,
yeah,
in Universal Soldier, because I didn't understand a damn thing. Yep. Either one of them two cats said from the time. Yep. I was like,
yeah,
you know what, just fight, just yep. don't bother.
Mm-mm.
Please don't,
man.
That's but you hysterical. Know, I would be interested in seeing. Like an epic horror film with an African American cast.
Like when you say epic, what do you mean by epic?
Like not Lord of the Rings epic.
Okay.
But something along the lines of I don't know. I mean,
well, you kind of got that with the almost like country.
With right, yeah. But you want a movie though. He wants a movie.
Yeah, but I'm thinking like in my mind.
When you say epic horror, right? Like what's an give me an example of an epic horror movie.
Like like something like them chasing something over like several continents.
Like like a Salem's Lot kind of movie almost.
Almost like that. But, okay. You know, just something that, you know, I mean, no, you're right. We did get a little bit of that flavor with Lovecraft Country.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're but right. something like maybe The Mummy, but scarier. Yeah. When you say epic horror, like The Mummy, but scarier. You have the adventure, you have the thrills and the chase and the actual fright, the actual scares are there, not just you know, jump scares or action movie scares, but like a real horror.
I mean,
that you reminds know me. I'm sorry, Mark.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna just pop up real quick. Did we ever talk? Because I mean, obviously, the Brendan Fraser movies are fun. Really, they're not really frightening at all. Did we ever talk about the Tom Cruise Mummy movie? I'm trying to think.
No,
did any of us see it?
I did.
I did. It crept up on my TV one night when I was doing nothing.
You know? Like slime. like slime.
It's like I was sitting there. I was like the guy in the original Mummy. Like right. he got up and took a walk. It came on my TV, and I had nothing else to watch that night. Like Mark died laughing, he went crazy. It's like,
real quick, would you consider Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula as an epic horror?
I would.
All right, something like that, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, with the money that was put into set design.
Oh God!
Backstory where they actually show flashbacks of medieval times and so on and so forth. That'd be more so that than okay. Yeah. I feel that. Wow. Yeah, we ain't gonna have something like that for a minute. We still ain't got a black fantasy movie, so yeah, we're gonna we not might be around by the time that come out. I'm sorry, that's the.
No, we haven't.
By the time somebody does a black fantasy movie,
we'll be around. We'll just be sitting in an old folks home. Okay, we know you three want to see this.
I'm like I don't think I do.
Don't think. Kirk's gonna hit the dude with his tapioca pudding.
Get out of here.
Kirk gonna be like, what's the name from the Five Heartbeats? The movie, we're gonna get halfway through and he's gonna shut the TV off and they're gonna come in and be like, now Kirk, what is this about? Now you know goddamn well what this is about. That ain't no fantasy film. Got me sitting here watching this garbage.
Wow. Yeah. Like, okay. Kirk, yeah, okay.
Kirk, turn TV back on, man. Just like
ain't turning the goddamn thing on, man. Wait, no. Real quick, I did read that y'all brought up the monster movies and horror movies. I read something that I didn't even know was a thing, written by Carl Edward Wagner, who did the Kane novels from back in the day. Mm-hmm. And Kane stories, the main character Kane is pretty much like the anti-hero on the other side of anti, as mm-hmm. opposed to, you know, like he's the villain. If it was Lord of the Rings, he's actually the Dark Lord.
Right.
But the story's always centered around him. But him and this guy, David Drake, wrote this short story that they later turned into a novel. But I read the short story recently in Renegade Swords, Volume 2, called it was called Killer. Mm. And it was actually phenomenal for me. I love the idea. First off, it's set during the time of Domitian in ancient Rome. Hmm. And the two characters are an animal dealer. When they capture the animals and he's going to Rome to sell the animals for the Colosseum. Mm-hmm. And the hunter that he works with. And the main character is a hunter who's an old gladiator who's now become a hunter and catches animals for him. And the dealer is telling him how the Sarmatians in the Central Asia, the Central Asian tribe, the Sarmatians, sold him this thing that he has locked up in the cage. And they sold him this thing already in the cage, and the cage has no bolts. It has no locks, no opening door, no bolts, or nothing. And the way they described the thing, like blue-scaled, almost looks like a mandrill baboon, but not quite, with sharp nails. It was actually really crazy how they set up the atmosphere. Like all the animals are scared of it. The tiger wants to kill it. Mm. And it obviously the thing, I don't want to really spoil it, but it was actually one of those that when you talk about like an epic horror movie, that's where my head went. Mm. So you have Gladiator meets Predator meets meets Quartermain because the main character is a hunter and the hunter has to hunt this thing because the thing is now going through the countryside just doing all types of crazy shit. It's called Killer. If you guys are interested, I'll lend you the book and you can check it out yourself. But just in terms of how it was written, it was really phenomenal. Wow. And how it ends is actually like awesome as fuck.
Who's the author?
It was a collaboration by David Drake and Carl Edward Wagner. Hmm. Right. And Carl Edward Wagner did this thing called The Bloodstone, which is one of my all-time favorite novels. Mm-hmm. And because he mixes sword and sorcery and alien science.
Mm.
And the elder gods kind of atmosphere to it, and it's mm-hmm. it's one of it has its problems, but just from the setup and how it's executed, it really made really a big impression on me. Put it like that. I'll say that.
All right. Okay.
But Carl Evan Wagner, if you're gonna get into, if you want a little horror in your sword and sorcery, that's the guy to go to. Not Robert E. Howard, not Lynn Carter, none of those guys. Just go to Carl Edward Wagner.
Okay.
All right.
But yeah. But if somebody did The Killer as a movie, yeah, you got my money.
All right. Well, those of you out there with book clubs and stuff, we just gave you a couple of tips. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Word.
Yeah, it's so funny. I'm actually getting ready to read this book. A coworker loaned me about the Colfax massacre, which is another like Tulsa.
Okay. Oh, like okay. That.
Right. That's my newest latest.
The Colfax massacre.
Mm-hmm. Just another, and basically, you know what it is. It's another black town that gets run over by racist white folks, and you know.
Let me know when you're ready for the drink.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need it. And I'm
certain. Well, I tell people all the time, you know, because, you know, when I was doing, and I'm still doing the Black History stuff for extra credit, I got into that episode about Medgar Evers. And
yeah.
I was in a bad place for a little bit. I actually had to, because, you know, the thing is, when you're a writer, you're trying to be professional and meet deadlines and this and that, whatever. But I had to tell them I needed a minute.
Yeah.
I had to stop. Mm-hmm. I had to regroup because I was like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was upset. I was real upset for about a good day and a half. But, you know, it's funny because this stuff does have to be, it's got to be discussed, it's got to be documented, it's got to be, you know, and all this shit going on right now with this critical race theory and all this.
Banning like, books, spanning curriculum.
Just right. and it's funny because in some cases, what's happening, and I think we touched on this a little bit last week, you know, certain things are starting to fly off the shelves because people were like, wait, the conservatives want to ban books?
Mm-hmm.
Let me get this motherfucker. You know, it's right, like, that's literally what people are doing. So kudos to those people, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's very worrisome. And Kirk and I had a separate conversation. What was it, Friday? And
yeah,
talking about I mean, if you don't mind me bringing this up, Kirk.
No.
Like he was talking about maybe we should, like, you know how they're always saying go back to Africa. Well, maybe that's what we ought to fucking do.
Yeah.
Of course, the only two things that hang on me with that, Marcus Garvey actually tried that. He actually tried to,
right.
That was what the boats and all his, you know, pushing and shoving and that was his whole thing. Of course, you know, nobody sent a memo to Liberia and they were like, fuck you talking about.
No. Yeah. Like we were already colonized by you guys.
Right.
Right. You know, they already had set up a whole.
Coming over here for with your Captain and Crunch hat. Right.
All
this bullshit.
I think that was like the original reason Liberia was set up is for African Americans to go back.
Yeah.
Not realizing that, mm-hmm. well, African Americans mm-hmm. ain't all from Liberia. And the people, and there's already people there.
Exactly.
There's already people in a culture there. So, yeah, man. I'd say Denmark, man. I was like, sometimes I just feel, on one hand, for me, it's like, I'm beginning to really feel this country does not deserve us. They don't deserve our presence. It doesn't deserve our hard work, our creativity. The effort that we keep putting into this,
mm-hmm.
and we've been putting in effort into this country for a long motherfucking time, and we still have to in 2022 we still have to
continuously justify our existence.
Right, right. Reapply. We continuously have to reapply for our citizenship and for our to be taken as citizens and as human beings.
Yep.
And I'm just kind of like, you know what? Fuck y'all. I can go to Ireland and get better treatment.
And see, okay, that's kind of what worries me a little bit because, you know, I look at how this place treats immigrants.
Yeah.
You know, and we're three, you know, pretty intelligent cats. If I do,
no, you can say it. Dashing, intelligent, provocative, creative,
exactly, beautiful, all of that.
Yep. Silver tongued, yep.
Hashtag Black horror writer magic. It's not a thing, but it is a thing now. Because I just made it up. But the black
one's behind you.
Exactly. They got to take your muse where you get it, man. Come on. But here's what bothers me. And this was my thing when I researched Marcus Garvey out. I'm like, you know what? Maybe that would have been dope if Liberia had said, all right, all of y'all, come on. So America wouldn't have had any of this. They wouldn't have had Jay-Z. They wouldn't have had Sammy Davis Jr. They wouldn't have had Lola Falana. There would have been none of that because all that shit would have happened in Liberia. Mm-hmm. With the extra added bonus of no cops shooting at people for no fucking reason. All right, bet. I like it. I like it so far until, because here's the thing. What does this country do better than anybody else? Interfere with foreign governments.
Yeah.
And when they can't interfere with your government because your government is either, you know, led by a, and not necessarily the greatest guys in the world, Saddam Hussein, rest of these dudes, whatever, half of these cats, horrible people. Yeah. But also, some of these people installed by us in the first place. Keep all that in mind. So what happens? All of us sitting in Liberia, and then one day, United States, now, without the temperament of or the benefit of us being known to decent people in the country. So yeah. Now, the assholes, like Reagan and the rest of them, like, honestly, I don't think we would have survived Reagan. I don't think they would have come up with some excuse to fucking bomb the shit out of us. Had Marcus Garvey put us there and we were there now.
Or, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I got to say. We would have survived Reagan.
Yeah. They would have made up some shit and.
They would have made up some shit and they would have fucking bombed the shit out of us. And.
Yeah. Like they're doing now to everybody. Yeah.
Basically, yes. And you know, the other side of that is, yeah, we could go to Denmark, we could go here, we could give that a shot. But, you know, I don't know if I'm looking to be somebody's janitor in Denmark. I mean, obviously, you know, it might be safer.
Shit.
We don't know that because look at
They know you in Denmark. They know you in Denmark. You're the Rock's son. You can go anywhere.
I appreciate the confidence, bro.
You're Stone, the Rock's son.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's Finland, but
true.
You know, and that's only because I've met some people from Finland. That concerns me. I mean, on the surface, it's a great idea. Yeah. You know what? Maybe let's try this. You know,
right.
But then you get there. And it's like, okay.
Right.
You know,
I mean, I'm not opposed to the idea. They got people who gone to Korea, Japan. They do YouTube videos, actually, of people who live in other countries and shit like that.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a couple.
And the worst ones, it seems, is like Spain. Spain. And and for the sisters, I've noticed it's South Korea for the sisters. It's not cool. Not cool. But I've known some cats who've done Germany and Denmark and the Netherlands, and And the, yeah, they're cool. They're like, you know, I don't know. I'm just, fuck, man. I don't know if I can take another young brother. Like, young brothers recently got shot on a couch because they did a no-knock, that no-knock thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the more you the you know, the less they're able to cover it up, and the more you know, hasn't stopped them from doing it. That's, yeah, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. It's like, we know y'all doing it now. You know, y'all got your cams and shit, and y'all niggas still doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm at a place where I'm like, you know, it's kind of like, well, shit, you got house. Your house has roaches and you haven't done anything about it, so I'm not staying. That's what it is. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we had a good time. We hung out for a while. Yeah, it was great, but you know, it's been like 2 years and you still have roaches up in here and I can't live like this. And you haven't even bought like the real like exterminator proof, like exterminator grade A poisons for these motherfuckers. You still buying Raid. You still using Raid. And I'm tired. And that's how it feels.
Yeah.
And I mean, that whole truck convoy thing. Yeah. That whole truck convoy thing.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking organizers are members of racist organizations in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even about truckers. It's not about truckers. I had to find that out from an alternate news source.
Mm.
Because the affiliations are on the website of these guys.
Mm.
Like, you see it, like, wait a minute. Why is the Maple Leaf of Canada upside down? Is that a Confederate flag? Oh my God. That's the Aryan Brotherhood sign.
Wow.
And these are the organizers of the truck convoy that nobody's talking about.
Well,
and you get kind of high.
That's also kind of lazy. Y'all can't even come up with your own fucking, like, y'all got to turn.
You know, it's not even laziness anymore.
Maple Leaf upside down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's lazy as fuck. But I mean, the other part is, you know, they're not even being covert about it because they know that the country and the media ain't going to give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
The only people who give a fuck are the ones who they rather just hire on to work the fucking Super Bowl and during halftime, mm-hmm, and not pay the dancers.
Hmm.
So you know what? I'm sorry, that's our time, bro.
Yeah, it sure is. Holy shit.
I'm sorry. That's
all, time. No, it's all good. It's all good. That is our time though, as Mr. Johnson has just revealed. But you know, that's the beauty of this show. We'll go from entertainment to group therapy, black right. shit in a heartbeat. There's no such thing as a segue. This is the most segue-less podcast you'll ever, ever experience, ladies and gentlemen. And
oh, man. Shit.
We hope you are here for it. So, real quick, I think next week I'll be done with Peacemaker by then. So okay. We'll probably hit on that. Yeah. You know, I think we'll dig up a guest from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Should talk about also Doctor Strange trailer.
Well, we need to also talk about the Nope trailer. Have you seen that?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's some sexy shit we got to talk about.
So
what were you going to say, Mark?
Yeah. Nope.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be our show tonight. What can I tell you? We love you. We mean it. We thank you for listening. And don't forget our friends over at Speculative Fiction Academy.
Right.
They'll teach you how to write. And hopefully one day Lisa will give me a better tagline for that. All right. That's our show. And if you see us at the bar, don't be shy. Pull out your credit card and buy us some drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about you. Get out there and get my money. I'm kidding. I actually love all of y'all. All right. Later.